Yes, this is Winecast 76, Mare Love. Good day and welcome to Winecast, your podcast for wine talk, education, and recommendations. I'm Tim Elliott, and I just wanted to start the show by acknowledging it's been a long time since the last podcast and to announce that I'm going to restart again. You may have noticed it from the music that I'm using, new theme music, which is actually just temporary theme music as I search for a new theme and ask for your help in finding that new theme. But also looking to use some new services as a way to get more podcasts to you. I'm going to be doing more live podcasts and hopefully a lot less editing. I'm not sure if I'm going to maintain the iPod-only format. I'm going to do that for a while, but we'll see how used that is. And this may go to a straight MP3 format for all the shows going forward, even in iTunes. But for the time being, it'll be delivered both in AAC enhanced for iTunes for the iPod and iPhone, and also in straight MP3 for everything else. I'm also going to be adopting AudioBoo, which I can record on my iPod Touch, and through Posterous, actually post it back to the blog and then put those out on the feeds sometime later. This way I can produce the Quick Picks programs a lot faster, get them to you quicker, but also cover some tastings and other things and do some short, quick interviews with folks that I see here and there in my travels. I'm also working on a new blog look and feel and really some more things to come in 2010. So visit the blog at winecast.net and check it out as I get back here into the podcast swing of things. So to get back started, I'll release a few podcasts that I recorded over the last several months, starting with one I recorded this past February with Rudy McLean, who's the filmmaker of the documentary Mare Love. The film made the rounds of the festival circuit and has been released on DVD here recently. And back in February, when I met with Rudy, he came to town for a screening of Mare Love here in Minneapolis that was sponsored by Sacre Bleu Wine and Haskell's Wine Shop, who provided me with a ticket to watch the film and a chance to sit down with Rudy for an interview before the screening. I began our talk asking why he chose Merlot and not some other variety as the subject of his documentary.
I think because of the movie Sideways, it's much easier to make a statement about singling out a variety because it was so heavily influenced by the movie Sideways.
Right. So how long did it take you to come up with Mare Love after you saw the movie?
A while. Wasn't even on my radar, but I heard a fellow a winemaker friend of mine, Chris Phelps from Swanson Vineyards, saying that there was a production of a movie about Merlot wine. And so I looked it up and there was nothing. So I said, hey, maybe I'll do this. And then I grabbed my camera and he was my first interview.
So have you done other projects with wine before you did Mare Love?
No. I was a freelance web designer before that, and I was writing screenplays. Then I put down the screenplay to pick up the camera and make the movie.
So were you into wine before you made the movie?
Yeah, somewhat. I mean, I grew up around it. So a lot of my friends are winemakers, general managers for wineries in the Napa Valley. And I was around it a lot, but didn't know too much, which is great because then I get to learn on the job. We'll learn while doing it. And I think that helps with the movie, really.
So is the movie intended for kind of people into wine, or is it for a more general audience?
I think it's for a more general audience because it speaks to popular culture in America and how that is different from different parts of the world and different parts of the United States. And it's intended for everyone. Sometimes it helps to know, like, well, what a varietal is. A varietal is a grape, to know some of these things. But we go into such depth and clarity with the different topics that I think anyone can pick it up and enjoy it and start getting excited about wine and go, look, after this movie I can walk out and enjoy company with other people, enjoy some wine, and not have it be such a stuffy thing.
So what have you learned through the process of making the film and showing it at festivals and like showings like we're going to see tonight? How has it advanced your wine education?
Showing it hasn't advanced the wine education. It's kind of confirmed it. You start off with Merlot and starting to learn about it, and then you understand that wine is basically made in the vineyard, and that sense of place and understanding of what goes into winemaking and the care of that makes a great wine. And understanding that about the varietal and learning and editing and putting it together and showing it and have people have a really good positive response where people are enjoying it, they feel at ease, they are having a sense of community, that is a confirmation that everything that's in the movie is something that I learned.
So any plans to take this into DVD or online release in the future?
Yeah, we're going to keep doing screenings, and we want to do screenings and wine events so that people can get together. You can go to a movie, but you don't really know anyone who's at the movie. So you can go to a screening, you can enjoy the company of other people, and enjoy some wine and learn. And that's what we want to cultivate throughout the rest of the summer into the fall, and then hopefully by the end of the year, like a fall or, late fall release, do a DVD online, everything else. So just so that everyone can have it individually, but we really want to maximize the opportunity to get people together and enjoy some wine together and have a cool movie that kind of gets people to relax a little bit about, pop culture and jumping on trends and things like that. And, not knowing anything about wine is okay. I mean, there's lots of good examples that are starting to show up that you can enjoy wine and approach it any way you like and have your own personal experience, your own personal adventure. It's just way too much for anyone in the entire world to know about wine. It's impossible to know everything. So no matter who you are, you're not going to know something about wine. So I think that's getting that message across gets people to relax about wine and gets people to enjoy it more. So
are you going to make another wine-themed film in the future, or is this kind of it for you?
Well, I don't have any plans to make another wine movie, but certainly if someone said, hey, we want to do this and it sounded interesting, I'd look at it. But no plans right now to make, Call Me a Cab or a Que Sera or anything like that.
So how did you select the vintners to profile in the film?
Well, a lot of them approached me, and a lot of them were things that popped up. I was doing a couple of interviews. I think I had interviewed Tom Rinaldi and Chris Phelps. Tom Rinaldi's from Provenance. And I saw a blog article from Larry Stone from Rubicon Estate. He champions Merlot on the blog for, I think it's the Forums for Wine Spectator website. So I said, hey, wouldn't that be great if I could get him in an interview? So things like that would pop up, and I would get the great interview, And then we got an interview with the winemaker for Chateau Petrus. At the time, he was the winemaker. Now his son's the winemaker, Jean-Claude Berouet. And he was in the States, and he agreed to an interview. And from that, I basically could write my own ticket and ask people to be in the movie, and most people would be in there, kind of thing. So, but I think it was just me. It was just me and my camera. I rolled into these wineries, set it up. We enjoyed some wine. We found kind of common ground and really had a cool experience, a cool exchange. And I think that the word spread that I was doing it and that it was a good thing and that it was just me trying to learn and make a movie and have it be a good thing. Instead of like a Mondovino or a lot of documentaries where you're expected to kind of come out and bash somebody or really destroy somebody. People go to a documentary and go, okay, good. Let me rub my hands together. Who's going to get destroyed in this thing and what am I going to learn about the world? But we're trying to really just celebrate and get people to relax a little bit about the stigma around wine.
Mm-hmm. So you've started another project recently, I noticed online, Judd's Enormous Wine Show. With Judd from Judd's Hill. So tell us about that.
Oh, you are awesome. You do your research. that just came out. I'm directing a show for Judd Finkelstein at Judd's Enormous Wine Show for Judd's Hill. And that is another thing to get people to relax a little bit about wine. We're doing narrative pieces, and it's called Judd's Enormous Wine Show because it's going to be enormous. It's going to encompass bloggers. It's going to be like Twittering. It's new media. It'll be narrative pieces, people being interviewed. It'll be all of it put together, and it's just going to be like this joyous celebration because the guy's got so much energy and talent and fun spirit about wine, which it should be. I mean, wine should be a celebration about life. You know, I mean, it's get together, enjoy some wine. It shouldn't be like this status symbol, crazy thing. It can be very qualitative wine, and you can use it as a way to enhance life and to get to different levels as you move through wine. But it shouldn't be that when you've gotten to that level in wine that you're kind of looking down at people who are just starting out with wine. It's like that's like criticizing little kids for, like, you're just a little kid. You don't know about, you know, how to do your taxes. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, they don't know that much about life, so you can't. So that's where we're going with the Judge Norris Wine Show, is having fun again and doing some narrative pieces, but exploring more of wine and more of a refined narrative direction.
So it looks like every couple of weeks a new episode is going to be published. Is that going to go on for a long time, or is that just kind of a, you're going to do 15 or 20 and then that's going to be it?
There's no end in sight, but we're doing one a week. We're going to do a show a week. So the next one will be Saturday the 21st. It'll air. And I've already filmed a couple other things, and we're going to keep them going as fast as we can turn them out. So, but we're including lots of people. So people who are doing blogs like yourself, love to have you on the show. We're going to give people space to get their voice out there. So hopefully kind of the more people we bring to the party, the better.
Yeah, well, I've had a chance to visit with Judd and taste wine with him, et cetera, last year. And one of the interesting aspects of his business is that he has this micro crush kind of thing where you can make your own barrel of wine. So the community aspect of what you're trying to do with the show is kind of interesting, I think. Is it the intention to build a community around JuddsEnormousWineShow.com, where right now it's just kind of a place to view the shows?
I don't think it'll be a community in the fact that we'll be receiving feedback from, because we're open to ideas, we're open to everyone. But I don't think it's going to be a community where other people are going to it'll be for feedback and for people to find common ground, but I don't know if it'll be. What's your idea of community, actually?
Well, one of the things about Crush Pad, where I've made wine before, is the aspect of kind of a social network. Mm-hmm. So it's bringing together a bunch of like-minded folks to make a barrel or two of wine, and to share ideas, to share the process, and kind of make that sort of hands-on. So the Roussan Marsan that I made in 2007, there's 25 or 30 people participated in that process to make the two barrels of wine. And through that, you know, we were able to communicate via the web, and, you know, the wine plans are all online, et cetera. I know that Judd does it in a little bit different way than Crush Pad does. But it seems to me that it's an idea to create these videos where you could kind of create this community that could, you know, help his micro crush business.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, I don't really know any intention to guide people toward that. My job is to make a really cool show to get people to learn about wine and to have it actually a venue to do some to more exposure, some more cool things with wine, to show it in a movie form or a video or an interview, those kinds of things. Really, education and fun, you know, mm-hmm. Eccentric fun and on the go. I mean, that's the part of the theme song. So it's more for direction right now is entertainment and to get more exposure for wine and to have people to have fun.
So how did that come up? I know that Judd's in the movie, Merlov. Yeah. So did that sort of discussion from his appearance there and ukulele playing, did that sort of generate the idea for the show, or was it something else?
He asked me to sit down with him and talk about everything, you know, from, you know, Web 2.0 to community aspects, and also doing more video, things like that, because he's got, I mean, the guy grew up wanting to be in show business, wanting to do movies, I mean, wanting to be in the entertainment business, you know. And I think that's a strong part of who he is, because anyone who knows Judd and has been to Judd's Hill, it's great, because it's great wine, and it's also really, really cool people and he's a showman, you know. So for him, me meeting with him initially, it kind of took off in that direction. I wasn't expecting it, and we ended up just creating the show.
Great. I'm looking forward to the next episode. The first one's pretty wacky, I have to say. But we'll keep track on that. And last question is, so is Merlot your favorite variety, or are others?
Oh, I don't have a favorite variety, actually. Merlot, we stuck up for it. But the title Merlot stands for two things. It stands for the love of Merlot wine. And also, in French, Merlot, it could be ocean love, the ocean of choices. So Merlot is the appreciation of fine wine from all varietals, as well as the appreciation of fine Merlot.
Great. Well, I appreciate the time and looking forward to seeing the film tonight.
Thanks, Tim. I hope you enjoy it.
After the interview, we screened the film, and I was pleasantly surprised with the film overall. It's completely self-produced, and I think it shows what a small team with a camera, a computer, and a passion for the subject can really do today. It's really amazing, as I talked with Rudy after the screening, that he really did everything from planning this out to being in the film, doing all of the interviews and such, and then all the post-production, all the editing on his computer at home and putting it out. Klein has created what I'll call the first wine cult documentary. It's not to say the film doesn't have flaws. In fact, it's a bit rough around the edges, and it gets somewhat repetitive around 45 minutes in, and that's when something kind of interesting happens. Gary Vaynerchuk shows up and does his normal stump speech, which I'm sure many listeners have heard over and over again. But somehow McLean uses this interview as a way to change direction of the film and features some very entertaining vignettes for the balance, including a firefighter making Merlot in his garage against his wife's wishes, and a visit to Chateau Petrus, where they were asked to turn their cameras off. McLean complies but leaves the audio rolling and uses crude artist renderings to hilarious effect. In the end, Merlot is not just about a celebration of Merlot, but of trying new wines and not following the crowd. I really enjoyed the film and recommend you check it out if it's playing in your town. You can also buy the DVD directly from Rudy for $20 at merlot.com. I have a link in the show notes on the blog and also in the lyrics section if you're listening on your iPod Touch or iPhone. All you need to do is click on the artwork to see all the notes and links mentioned on the show. At the Merlot screening, there were quite a few Merlots from around the world, but I didn't take particularly great notes, and none were that noteworthy, as I recall. In fact, the most interesting wine of the evening was the Ringer wine, which was the Sacre Bleu Pinot Noir, Anade de Sideways. But I have a few notes that I pulled together of Merlot wines that are really kind of interesting as I look back through my tasting logs. They come from all sorts of different places, also different approaches and radically different price points. The first one is from Bodegas Osborne. It's marketed under the Solaz brand. It's a Merlot Tempranillo blend of 65% Merlot and 35% Tempranillo. I've had the 2006 vintage, and it sells for around $9 a bottle, maybe a little bit less, depending on where you are in the country. It's garnet in color with aromas of black cherry, white pepper, licorice, and vanilla. It has a nice plum and black cherry fruit with black pepper, finishing with just a hint of bell pepper and moderate tannins. I find this to be a really nice table wine for under $10. It clocks in at 13.5% alcohol, is sealed with a synthetic cork closure, and I rated it 3 out of 5 stars, which is a very good wine. Second wine is from Blackstone. It's their Merlot Sonoma Reserve 2007 that I've received just very recently as a sample from the winery. It sells for $20 a bottle. It's dark purple in color with aromas of black cherry, dark currant, and sage. Has rich plum and dark cherry fruit with some mint finishing with supple tannins. A really kind of a nice wine at this price point. It clocks in at 14.5% alcohol, is sealed with a natural cork, and I rated this a very good 3.5 out of 5 stars. And the last Merlot is a really interesting wine that I received. Actually, I won it on the Menu for Hope drawing a couple of years ago from Len Thompson from Len Devours, which is now, I guess, rebranding itself to the New York Cork Report. But it's from Raphael. It's their Merlot North Fork of Long Island 2001, which I tasted from a double magnum. I'm not sure how much that this wine would actually sell for if they actually sold double magnums at the winery. I just checked their website, and they do have the 750 milliliter version of this wine available for $25 a bottle. So I imagine that this double magnum would be somewhere north of 100, probably closer to $200 a bottle if you could actually find it. And the reason I opened the bottle fairly recently here was being unfamiliar with wines from Long Island and how long they aged. I thought that perhaps that we might be bumping up against the drinking window here, being 9 years out from the vintage. And I'm happy to report that I'm completely wrong about this wine. Not sure, again, how it would be in the 750s, because wines in larger bottles tend to age slower and differently than they do in smaller bottles. But I would imagine that if you were to pick up one of those 750s from the winery today, that they would still be drinking almost as good as what I found. So it was deep garnet in color with aromas of black cherry, currant, and mint. Has rich black currant and black cherry fruit with some white pepper, bell pepper, finishing with moderate but well-integrated tannins. I think this wine, at least in the double magnum, has structure to last for another 10 years or so. And I found this to be an outstanding and delicious Long Island Merlot that if I were to be tasting this in a blind tasting, I would really guess that this came out of Bordeaux. Clocks in at only 12.5% alcohol, was sealed with a natural cork, and I rated this a delicious 4 out of 5 stars. So that's all for this episode of Winecast. Thanks for listening. You can post feedback on the blog at winecast.net or send me a comment at winecast@gmail.com. And just as a reminder, send me any ideas you have for new theme music. You can either send me a link to the file or to where I found where I can find it, or just the name of the artist and the song. All it needs to be is Creative Commons licensed, and I'll get the best of the ones that I get submitted and the ones that I find along the way, put them up at a little poll, and we'll see which ones you like best. I'll be back next week with a talk I recorded only a few months ago with Georgetta Dane, who's the winemaker of the Big House series of wines. Until then, cheers.